You got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
Lead NFL and NFL draft analyst at Bleacher Report.
In the NFL, you need guys who have upside and potential, and you have to have something that kind of makes you special.
The Stick to Football Podcast.
We ain't got to talk about too much. We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Going through college and NFL film.
You need to be just an MF-er out there where you're going to put this guy on the ground every play.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Matt Miller's brought to you by Webb Ford. Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago? Visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. So I guess we have to enjoy you while we can, Matt, because now they've moved the NFL draft to Las Vegas. So
best of luck, buddy.
Yeah, good luck, man.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride. Yeah, Dan, we've been doing the show together for like 5 years. It's gonna be bittersweet. But I don't know actually where I'm gonna be for the draft. If it's on location or in New York, there's been a bit of a disagreement at times. I want to be in Nashville, obviously, but there's no way I could survive a week in Nashville followed by a week in Vegas next year. But I feel like I left it all out on the field, if that's what it comes to.
Should Kyler Murray financially, would he be better off keeping his baseball signing bonus, like a little less than $5 million.
Four and a half, seven.
And then toiling his way up through the minors and getting whatever opportunity he has. Or is he better off paying back some of his bonus, declaring for the draft, and then getting every possible shoe deal, marketing deal, et cetera, and trying to parlay his star as hot as it is at the moment?
Yeah, if you're just trying to make money, that's the way to do it. You know, try to capitalize on being the new Bo Jackson or the next Deion Sanders. You know, try to go about it that way because you are going to be more marketable. You know, Nike or Under Armour or whomever it might be, they're going to want to pay someone who's a two-sport star, especially coming off a Heisman Trophy win. And, yeah, the dollar's going to be there. And this might be a Darren Revelle-type segment, but that's the way to go if you're just trying to cash in. Now, I think if he wants to be one of the best players at whichever sport he decides to play, and I think he's going to have to commit to one. And that's actually something that, you know, I mean, I'm a huge baseball fan. I love the game, but I'm not a baseball scout. So I remember talking to some guys with the Royals about him, and they were like, if he could just commit to baseball, because he's not a great hitter. Like, that's where he needs a lot of work. And that the only way to get better as a hitter, obviously, is a ton of practice. So it's like, for him to be a good baseball player, he's going to have to just go all in on it. And I think it's the same for football. Like, for him to become a great football player, he's going to have to go all in. I don't know if you guys remember watching him at Texas A&M, but he wasn't any good. And that's not me being a Texas homer saying that, but he was not good at Texas A&M. And I think a lot of that was because he was trying to focus on two sports at one time that made it very difficult. And so moving forward, if he wants to be a quarterback in the NFL, he has that right to try. And I think he would probably be a day two pick is where I would put him about right now. But that could also be hurt because teams, as you guys know, they want quarterbacks who only care about football. I'll never forget being told Derek Carr was getting knocked by a scouting staff because he was married with a child. Huh. They don't want him to be distracted. If Kyler Murray comes in and says, hey, I might do both, that's going to hurt his stock as an NFL draft pick.
Does Kyler Murray have, according to scouts that you've talked to, a Lincoln Riley problem in so much as some of that might just be scheme and having to figure out what that is? Or are we past that given his performances?
Man, you're trying to get me in trouble today, guys. That's all this segment is. You're like, oh, let's, I asked scouts that and I tweeted about it and Baker Mayfield got all over me for a weekend. So you got to be careful saying that stuff or guys in Norman are kind of thin skinned. But I do think that that is a valid question. And the answer to that might be, well, look at what Baker's doing. He has not had trouble at all acclimating to the NFL. And hey, the NFL's moving. Look what Matt Nagy's doing and Sean McVay. And, you know, all these guys are adopting more spread air raid elements to the NFL game. So maybe it would work. I think Kyler Murray's biggest problem is that he's about 5'9 and 165 pounds. Baker is 6 foot tall, almost 6'1", and he's probably close to 215, 220. Like, Baker's a thick guy. And I think that's one thing that people forgot when they talked about Baker was, like, it's not that he's small. He's just short. You know, he was a physical player. Murray is the opposite. And I'm not in any way suggesting he should play slot receiver, but that's what he's built like. Hmm. So I think that's the concern is, man, we talked about Lamar Jackson, I think, every week last year, guys. Hmm. And he's, you know, 6'2", and he was rail thin. But we had to talk about it. A guy who runs a lot, he takes a lot of hits, can he hold up? And there, we've already seen he's been hurt a couple times from big hits in the NFL. And I think with Kyler Murray, obviously a smaller target range because he is so much shorter, but you got to worry about these small guys holding up at the next level.
The Packers are looking for a coach. The college coaches that were mentioned in a piece today from Rob Domofsky, who's well plugged in there, he gives these names: Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, Lincoln Riley of Oklahoma, and Pat Fitzgerald of Northwestern. Assess the validity and viability of those three as the next Packer head coach.
It wouldn't be a surprise at all. I honestly wouldn't. I think with Harbaugh, you have obviously someone who's gone to a Super Bowl with the 49ers and did a really good job in a short amount of time there of getting them ready, you know, to be a playoff contender. They turned around, you know, on a 180 and looked like a team that was going to have a good 10-year run there, and it obviously fell apart. A lot of that was because of their relationships in the front office. So I think that's one thing that the Packers would have to think long and hard about. You got a young GM who's really in his first year there. Do you want to pair yourself with Jim Harbaugh? Because he couldn't get along with Trent Baalke. He couldn't get along with Jed York. So that's something that has to be thought about. I think Pat Fitzgerald is an interesting name, and I know we've talked about him before, because he's more of the CEO type. He's not coming in and installing some great modern offense that's going to get Aaron Rodgers back to a Super Bowl, which is what this job should be all about. You have one of the greatest quarterbacks in the game right now. How do you get him back to a Super Bowl? Pat's not going to do that. What he might do is build up that very good young defense and turn around some of the culture there and some of the bickering that had happened, you know, with Mike McCarthy. So that's more about culture. I think Lincoln Riley is the most interesting name because he's going to do just what I said. He's going to bring, you know, modern elements to the Packers offense. He's going to find ways to get Devontae Adams involved. He's going to get the ball out quickly for Aaron Rodgers, which is something we've never seen before. And hopefully open up that offense to where they can become like a Rams or a Chiefs where, screw it, we can outscore you every week if we have to. I still think Matt Campbell at Iowa State is a very interesting name. I know he signed the extension. I don't put much stock in that. That extension was about his assistants getting more money, which is great in the event that he leaves. His assistants are now set up with guaranteed contracts at a higher rate. His buyout is $7 million, which is pocket change to NFL owners. So if somebody really wants Matt Campbell, he's still out there as a viable candidate.
So the reports, I believe that the reports of Aaron Rodgers' demise are greatly exaggerated. I get that he's not had the season X's and O's wise, performance wise, that a lot of people would have liked to have had. We all watched him bang up his knee in the first game of the season. We've watched him hang on to the football too long. We've watched him get rid of it quickly and be really successful. Do you get the sense from scouts and prospective coaches, whether they be college or NFL, that they think he's on the downturn, that they think it's really, granted, working with his personality might be one thing, but right, that his reclamation project is really so impossible?
No, that's what I was going to say, actually, is that it's more the personality stuff. I remember reaching out to an assistant GM or whatever his title is, someone up there that's not a GM, about, you know, Lincoln Riley's got to want to go to Green Bay, right? Like, it's a storied franchise, and you get to work with Aaron Rodgers. And I'll never forget, we were on the phone, and he was like, would you want to go to Green Bay and run the risk of pissing off Aaron Rodgers and losing your job? Because that's the reality of it. And I'm sure Bears fans love hearing this, but Rodgers has a reputation of being hard to work with and, you know, being a little temperamental. And because he is so dang good at football, he can kind of get away with that to some extent. So I think that's something that has to be taken into account. From the football side of things, I think you worry about the fact that he has been banged up a lot over the past several years. He is getting older. He's 35 years old now. And, you know, we've almost taken it for granted that Tom Brady's 41 and still playing, like, great football. But that's really rare. Like, that's not normal. Guys do start to break down normally. And 35, 36, 37, you see them fall off to some extent, and you got to stay ahead of it. You know, with Rodgers, where he's had a couple collarbone injuries, he's banged up the knee. I think you do worry about, all right, the way this guy plays, where he's so reckless and physical, how much of that is he going to lose, and can he change his game to keep up with as he does get slower, or as, you know, the knee doesn't bounce back as well? Can he adjust and still be great?
A rare marquee Thursday night matchup tonight with the Chargers at the Chiefs. The Chargers 10-3, the Chiefs 11-2. For what are you watching in this one?
Oh, man. Well, I live in Missouri, and the whole town where I live is like 70,000 people. This whole town is like freaking out about the game tonight. It's all about, where are you going to be to watch the Chiefs game, which is never happened in my life other than the Rams game this year. So I'm actually just going to try to enjoy it as a fan as much as possible, but I'm ready to see Eric Berry back on the field. I think that I don't know if they strategically timed his return, but this is a pretty daunting week for him to come back. And you have to appreciate Phillip Rivers. I mean, they're so banged up offensively. We'll see if Melvin Gordon gets out there or not, but this could be a little bit of a shootout because, you know, the Chiefs don't play a lot of defense, and the Chargers can definitely score, and we'll see if the bookends for Kansas City can stop Bosa and Melvin Ingram. I think that's, like, you know, as great as Pat Mahomes has been this year, and he just does stupid things every week that no other quarterback should be able to do, but I haven't really seen a pass rush like the duo that L.A., almost San Diego, my goodness, like L.A. has. So that's going to be the fun part, is they're going to get Pat on the move, and we'll see if he can throw it left-handed or not looking or behind his back or between his legs or something tonight.
I was going to bring up the no-look pass. We've all seen it from multiple angles in every kind of video and GIF available. Have you ever seen anything like that in football? You know, basketball, we see it all the time, and we know that LeBron James can make a no-look pocket pass to the corner to a three-point shooter in stride over and over and over again, and it's practiced. Could this, purely from a scouting perspective here, could football ever evolve and quarterbacking ever evolve to some form of no-look passing becoming a thing?
I don't think so, man. He looks like Magic Johnson out there.
I know.
It's unreal. I've never seen, it's like Brett Favre stuff though. You know, maybe we've started to move on to, like, the new generation doesn't really remember Favre and some of the crazy stuff he did, but like that's such a Brett Favre play. And because it's kind of an effort throw, you know, like, oh, well, we'll see what happens. And it's one of those that you would scream at a guy for doing in practice. But, when you pull it off in a game and it goes the way it does for Mahomes every time, you just kind of shake your head and laugh, but it's unreal. I've never seen anything like it.
So, Matt, I was going back to the college game just real quickly. I was reading through Nicole Auerbach's story on The Athletic, and she's got quotes from everyone. Bob Bowlsby, the Big 12 commissioner, Barry Alvarez, the czar of Wisconsin, Gordon Gee, who I'd rather not hear from ever again, and then everyone at UCF. They're all real big fans and really pushing for an 18 playoff in college football. I saw you tweet about it. How badly do we need this? How badly does college football need it? And what changed, if anything, about the landscape?
Well, I think Ohio State getting left out. You know, when you have a team that big getting left out, and they had an argument, right, to be in there. I think that wakes a lot of people up. I don't know that UCF has enough pull to really make any noise, but they have a valid argument, right? They didn't lose the game. They should be in there. I think that's what it is. And then it feels like the appetite from fans is, you already have 41 bowl games, guys. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just make four more of them a playoff game, or two more of them a playoff game, get four more teams in? And I think that at some point, these NCAA guys who are so slow and so behind the times are going to realize, it's just going to make them more money. Like, it doesn't hurt. They're just going to pocket more money because the TV rights are going to be better for an 8-team playoff as opposed to a 4-team. You take two more bowl games, you know, put Ohio State in one, put UCF in one, so they can get slapped in the mouth and everybody will stop talking about it. And you just build up that excitement and the drama more. So I think that with the NCAA, it always is going to come down to money, and it usually is with the ADs. But I think right now there's just the right environment of, you know, good teams being left out of the 4-team final, and the fact that college football fans are very vocal about the fact that, hey, we want 8 teams. You know, no, 16, we don't need it, but give us 8. That's a great number. And there might be a year where you get a 2-loss team in there, but that's going to be okay. And maybe it will, you know, we'll see a little bit of magic as the team makes a run.
I'm tired of the UCF stuff. I want to see the receipts here. Because every year they're bitching, well, we tried to schedule this. We'd love to play. Show me. Tell me who you tried to schedule, who you could not schedule.
I want Nick Saban to just be like, you know what, guys? We'll play next year. You know, sorry, Citadel. Here's your $100,000. We're not going to play. UCF, week 11, let's do it. Wherever you want, we'll come to your place. They would back away so fast. You know, like calling out the bully, and the bully finally turns around and is like, okay, I've had enough of your mouth. Let's do this. Like, that's UCF right now. Yeah, it's easy to jump on the table when you play South Florida, but they would not stand a chance against any of these Power 5 teams that have a legitimate shot at the playoff.
Matt, appreciate it as always, man. Also, best of luck in Nashville and Vegas. Man, we'll pray for you.
Yeah, I mean, geez, Kansas City last week was rough, so we'll see how it goes.
That is Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter, and a longtime favorite of this show.